Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today is an interesting episode because I got a recommendation from a viewer, and their recommendation was the Titanic, the boat. That big old boat, the Titanic, as a D&D character, and I thought, yeah, okay, I can probably do that. So that's what we're gonna be doing, the Titanic, in D&D form. So I'm sure we all know what the Titanic is, but just a reminder, it was a boat. It was an Olympic-class ocean liner owned by White Star Line. It was a British passenger liner which sank in the North Atlantic Ocean on the 15th of April, 1912, after striking an iceberg during her maiden voyage to New York City. So it has been 110 years. The Titanic was the largest ship afloat at the time she entered service, and the second of three Olympic-class ocean liners operated by the White Star Line. She was built by the Harland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The Titanic was under the command of Captain Edward Smith, who went down with the ship. The ocean liner, it carried some of the wealthiest people in the world. Some of the first class tickets at the time were as expensive as £870, which by today's measure would be £88,000 for a cruise, for a first class suite on the Titanic, £88,000. And I mean, I don't not get it. You know, this thing was outfitted with just the best and the best. White Star Line wanted it to be the final name in class and opulence. And it was laid out in a style similar to, like, the Ritz Hotel, which was a reference point. There were a bunch of, like, very fancy decorative styles, like the Empire style, the Renaissance, Louis XV, the Palace of Versailles. And in first class, a bunch of features available to first class passengers. There was a deep saltwater swimming pool. There was a gymnasium equipped with the latest exercise machines. There was a squash court. There was a full Turkish bath, which included an electric bath, a steam room, a cool room, a massage room, and a hot room. I'm guessing a hot room is just a steam room, but drier. And I'm guessing a cool room is just a steam room, but drier and also cold. Anyway, first class rooms themselves had a lounge, had a reception room, a men's smoking room, and a reading and writing room. Their rooms had all of these things. Their rooms were like massive hotel rooms. That's insane. So yeah, 88 grand. I mean, that's still a lot, but if I had access to those Turkish baths, I mean, forget about it, come on. So we know that the Titanic sank. It sank 5 days into its journey. It started on April 10th, 1912, and hit an iceberg 5 days later on April 15th, 1912. So many of the people died. So many people died. There were an estimated about 2,200 passengers and crew aboard, and more than 1,500 died, which made the sinking one of the deadliest for a single ship up to that time. And it remains to this day the deadliest peacetime sinking of a superliner or cruise ship. The deadliest. Looking at the numbers, it looks like 68% of people aboard the ship died. 68%. That is so many people. Of course, people in first class were much less likely to die, but there were some of the richest people in the world at that point who chose to stay on the ship and actually allow, you know, women and children first, even in second and third class. So this might be a little difficult, because normally I would go into background now and pick a background for the Titanic. You know, who was the Titanic before they were an adventurer? But the Titanic was built and then sank pretty immediately. So I think this might be closer to the Mrs. Claus episode, where I just kind of give them a personality. So what kind of boat do we think the Titanic was? It was very opulent and lavish. So I'm thinking a proper dandy. They are Irish, so that's good. I'm not gonna do my Irish accent because it's terrible, and I'm still practicing it. Of course, I did my Scottish accent for Sheograph, and that one's also very bad. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, so the Titanic is a proper gentleman, let's say. Or actually, ships are ladies, a proper gentlewoman. So what background would be fitting for a very ostentatious noble woman? I mean, I could give the Titanic the noble background, but that feels like a cop-out. How about something more fun? Ooh, like courtier. Ooh, that could be fun. Okay, yeah, I think I'm gonna go with courtier. So as a courtier, the Titanic gains skill proficiencies in insight and persuasion. Very useful for vetting the passengers waiting to board. And the Titanic is also going to sorry, it's just really funny to me to say, oh yeah, the Titanic, the person, the ship, is going to also gain 2 languages of her choice. I think we'll pick those once we know the race, so we can pick languages that the Titanic may be lacking. So proficiencies in insight and persuasion, and 2 languages. Now let's go and pick a race. Okay, we nailed the background immediately with courtier, absolutely. So now, what race is a boat? Not just any boat, what race is perhaps one of the most famous boats? Like, I know it should have a swim speed, right? Like, it should have a swim speed, but I'm thinking maybe like Centaur. I don't know why, but I see the Titanic as kind of like a centaur. No, okay, let's look at things that can swim. Let's see, we could do a Triton. They're kind of like mer people, kind of. They have a swim speed. They're amphibious. Yeah. You know what? I actually think this makes sense. Okay, so the Titanic, of course, is a Triton. So as a Triton, they're going to gain an ability score improvement of +1 to strength, +1 to constitution, and +1 to charisma. That's fun. They're going to have a walking speed of 30 feet and a swimming speed of 30 feet, which is nice because she's a boat. They are amphibious, so the Titanic can breathe air and water, which makes sense because a lot of the Titanic was above water for a few days. They have the control air and water ability. They are a child of the sea, and yes, she is. She can cast fog cloud with this trait, and then starting at 3rd level, she can cast gust of wind with it, and starting at 5th level, she can also cast wall of water with it. When she casts a spell with the control air and water trait, she can't cast that spell with it again until she finishes a long rest. And charisma is going to be her spellcasting ability for fog cloud, gust of wind, and wall of water. So that's fun. The Titanic starts out a little magic. They also get the ability Emissary of the Sea. Aquatic beasts have an extraordinary affinity with the Titanic, and she can communicate simple ideas with beasts that can breathe water. They can understand the meaning of the Titanic's words, but she doesn't have a special ability to understand them in return. So that's kind of cool. The Titanic can just communicate their ideas to fish. So, classic Titanic. And one of the things that I like about this race is the last ability, Guardians of the Depths, where the Titanic is adapted to even the most extreme ocean depths. And I like that because the Titanic currently lies, or the wreckage of the Titanic currently lies over 12,000 feet or 3,700 meters below the surface, where the water pressure is over 6,500 pounds per square inch. So they are in these great depths, so an ability guardian of the depths sounds very good. So the Titanic has resistance to cold damage and ignores any of the drawbacks caused by a deep underwater environment. So the Titanic, sure, they're, you know, 1,200 feet below the surface, but they're vibing. They're just vibing. She's chill. Yeah, she's hanging out with fish. For languages, the Titanic can speak, read, and write Common and Primordial. And two languages of our choice. So what should those languages be? Common and Primordial. But what would help the Titanic? I think Elvish for the opulence and Dwarvish for the craftsmanship. Does that sound good? I mean, it doesn't matter. You can't respond. So I'm going to take that as a yes. Now that we have background, courtier, and race, Triton, we get to roll for stats. It's been a while. I've been sick with COVID, so I haven't released an episode in 2 weeks, which is a bummer, but I am feeling a lot better. Finally test negative, and I'm like, I got to record, and that's what I'm doing. So I get to roll for stats. I love it. That's when you take a D6, a six-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get 1 of the 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that 6 times. Okay, so I rolled for her, and the Titanic got 17, 14, 6, 9, 9, and 15. Started off so well with a 17, and then got a 6 and 2 9s. But that's okay. We can work with that. All right, so next is to put these numbers in the stats where we think they should go. So what is the Titanic's highest stat? I think we're going to put that 17 into charisma. Because as I said, the Titanic is very posh and proper, and I think that lends itself to charisma, like persuasion and performance and stuff like that. So she gets a +1 to charisma for being a Triton, so that is going to be an 18, which is a +4 modifier. That is very good to start with. Next is a 15. Let's put that... I actually think we're going to put that into strength. The Titanic is a whole ass boat, so I think they are very strong. And as a Triton, they're going to get a +1 to that as well, so that's going to be 16 to strength, or a +3 modifier. Next highest is 14. Let's put that into intelligence, because the Titanic had, I'm pretty sure I read this correctly, had multiple libraries on it, and a lot of the rooms had, like, writing rooms in them. So the Titanic was quite the intellectual. Next highest is 9. I'm going to put that into Constitution. As a Triton, she's going to get a +1 to Constitution, so that becomes a 10, which is a +0 modifier. Now, normally, I love to have any sort of positive modifier in Constitution, because that helps determine hit points. So having a +1 or a +2 in there can really help survivability. But the Titanic sank 5 days into her voyage. And I know it wasn't her fault, but for the purposes of this, I'm gonna say it for sure was. So I think having lower hit points makes sense for this. Next is also a 9. Let's put that into Wisdom. 9 Wisdom is a -1 modifier, and I think this makes sense because Wisdom is used for things like survival and perception, and I just don't really think that the Titanic has those things down very well. Last is a 6. We are going to put that into Dexterity. So a 6 is a -2 modifier. Now, I think having a low dexterity makes a lot of sense as well, because the Titanic was a whole-ass boat. That should be self-explanatory. A big Olympic class ocean liner, not the most dexterous. Yeah, no. Okay, so beautiful. Starting stats, we have 16 strength, 6 dexterity, 10 constitution, 14 intelligence, 9 wisdom, and 18 charisma. So what class do we think the Titanic is? I am going to start with... this is a tough one. You know what? I'm just going to go with my gut. I'm going to start with fighter. I think the Titanic is... the Titanic's pretty rough and tumble. Okay, like, yeah, she's fancy. But she wasn't always fancy. Okay, she was built in a shipyard, just like everyone else. And, you know, you gotta learn to defend yourself. So, as a fighter, she's gonna have proficiency in light armor, medium armor, heavy armor, and shields. In simple weapons and martial weapons. In strength and constitution saving throws. And is going to choose 2 skills from acrobatics, animal handling, athletics, history, insight, intimidation, perception, and survival. Well, I already said I don't think perception and survival really work. Definitely not acrobatics or animal handling. So let's do... I think history, because the Titanic went down in history and, again, is at the bottom of the ocean just vibing. And how about I'm torn between athletics and intimidation. Because I think the Titanic was more inviting than intimidating. So I think I am going to go with athletics. It's a very, very athletic ship. Very sleek and camera ready. As a first level fighter, the Titanic starts with a fighting style. That's just a style of fighting that she specializes in. So, let's see, what kind of fighter do we think the Titanic is? I don't think she fights much. Let's see, there is a fighting style called Mariner, which sounds like it would fit, but I don't really like what it does. As long as the Titanic's not wearing heavy armor or using a shield, she's going to have a swimming speed and a climbing speed equal to her normal speed, and gain a +1 bonus to armor class. But I don't really want the Titanic to have a climbing speed, because that's horrifying. So we're not going to do that. Instead, I think we're going to be a little bit boring and go with defense. I think defense is a great fighting style, but it's a little lackluster. All this is while the Titanic's wearing armor, she's going to gain a +1 bonus to armor class. Now, I'm doing this on purpose, because with heavy armor and a shield and the defense fighting style, the Titanic will have an armor class of 19. And I think that makes sense, because she's a boat. You know what I mean? She's a full boat. She's thick and made of metal. So having a high armor class just sounds very apt. The Titanic is also going to get the ability called Second Wind. So, on her turn, she can use a bonus action to regain hit points equal to 1d10 plus her fighter level. And she can do that once per short or long rest. So that's a cool ability, she can just use a bonus action and heal herself. I think that might be it for fighter. We might revisit it depending on how I'm feeling. Because if you listen to any of these episodes, you know I don't plan these things out ahead of time. Don't be crazy. No, not at all. So the mood might strike me again to go back into fighter. But for now, we are going to multiclass into sorcerer. Because we got that high charisma. We gots to use it. Right? So now, as a sorcerer, she's a spellcaster, okay? And her spellcasting ability for her sorcerer spells is going to be charisma. And I like that because as a Triton with the ability Control Air and Water, charisma is her spellcasting ability for those spells as well. So we only have to keep track of one spell attack modifier in spell save DC, which I like because I get confused pretty easily. Ha ha! But anyway, her spell save DC are what a target has to equal or beat in order to resist the effects of her spells is going to be 8 plus her proficiency bonus plus her charisma modifier. Proficiency bonus at second level is 2, charisma modifier is 4, so 8 plus 2 plus 4 is 14. That is not bad. And spell attack modifier is just proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier, or plus 6. Also, not bad. At first level, the Titanic is going to gain her Sorceress Origin, or her Sorcerer subclass. So what kind of sorcerer do we think the Titanic is? I mean, it's gotta be a sea sorcerer, right? Like, that just makes sense, right? It does. So with the Soul of the Sea ability, she can now breathe underwater and has a swim speed equal to her walking speed, which doesn't do much for her because as a Triton, she could already do both those things. But she's going to also gain the ability, Curse of the Sea. So now when the Titanic hits a creature with a cantrip's attack, or when a creature fails a saving throw against her cantrip, she can curse the target until the end of her next turn, or until she curses a different creature. So once per turn when she casts a spell, she can trigger the curse if that spell deals cold or lightning damage to the cursed target, or if the spell forces them to move. Doing so subjects the target to the appropriate additional effect below, and then the curse ends, if the spell isn't a cantrip. So a little complicated there, but essentially if she hits a target with a cantrip or a target fails their saving throw against a cantrip, they are cursed until the end of the Titanic's next turn, and if she does cold damage, lightning damage, or forces them to move with a spell, then an additional ability triggers based on what the Titanic did. So if the spell was cold damage on a cursed creature, the target's speed is also going to be reduced by 15 feet until the end of the Titanic's next turn. If the spell already reduces the target's speed, use whichever reduction is greater. If the Titanic did a lightning damage, the target is going to take additional lightning damage equal to the Titanic's charisma modifier, which is plus 4, so an additional 4 damage. If the Titanic forced movement in the target, the distance that they are moved is going to be increased by 15 feet. That is pretty damn awesome. If they use a spell that forces them to move, they gotta move another 15 feet. And remember, next level, the Titanic is going to gain access to the Gust of Wind ability, which can push a creature 15 feet away. Well, now the Titanic can push someone 30 feet away with one spell. So that is very fun. Now let's go third level, second in Sorcerer, where she is going to gain her Font of Magic, or Sorcery Points. So she's going to have an amount of Sorcery Points equal to her level in Sorcerer. So right now, 2 points. And those can be used for some fun things, like she can turn Sorcery Points into spell slots, or turn spell slots into Sorcery Points. Third level in Sorcerer, fourth overall, she's going to gain Metamagic. So now she can use those Sorcery Points for much more fun things, and she can gain 2 Metamagic options, which are just ways for her to twist and enhance her spells. I think one that would be really effective for the Titanic is Quickened Spell. So when the Titanic casts a spell that has a casting time of 1 action, she can spend 2 sorcery points to change the casting time to 1 bonus action for that casting. That works really well with Curse of the Sea, because that means she can hit a creature with a cantrip and curse them, then immediately use Quickened Spell to do a spell that uses cold damage or lightning damage or forces movement in order to trigger that additional effect. Immediately. So that is pretty fun. Then I think we are going to go with... Ooh, you know what would make a lot of sense as well? Transmuted Spell. So now when the Titanic casts a spell that deals either acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder damage, she can spend 1 sorcery point to change that damage type to one of the other listed types. That means even if she hits someone with a fire type spell, she can just change it to a cold or lightning spell in order to gain the additional effect from Curse of the Sea. That's really fun. Oh, I like that. I'm the smart. Oh, I'm so tired. That's okay. Let's see, for fifth level, we're going to go fourth into Sorcerer and gain an ability score improvement. So we can increase 1 ability score of her choice by 2, or she can increase 2 ability scores of her choice by 1, or she can pick a feat. I love feats, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So let's bump charisma up from an 18 to a 20 and max it out. So the Titanic now has a +5 charisma modifier. The Titanic is just oozing with charisma and gravitas. I love it. Yes, Titanic, the ship, the person. Let's see. I think just continuing in Sorcerer would be the most prudent course of action. So we're going to go 5th level Sorcerer, 6th overall, and she's going to gain access to 3rd level Sorcerer spells, like Lightning Bolt, which is really fun, or Fireball, which she can change to a cold or lightning spell. Very cool. 6th level Sorcerer, 7th overall, she's going to gain another Sorceress Origin feature from the C Sorcerer subclass. Lot of S's. And that ability is called Watery Defense. So now, the Titanic is going to gain a resistance to fire damage. That's awesome. So now, the Titanic has resistance to cold and fire damage. That's so cool. Resistances are so fun. Just like a pro DM tip, throw one of your players a resistance to a type of damage as like a reward for something. They will love it. And it's not as game breaking as it sounds if you don't overdo it. But one of my players has a lover who is kind of like made from electricity. So he shocks everyone who gets close. And they've been seeing each other for a bit. So she built up a resistance to lightning damage. And she loved it, and it was a lot of fun. Anyway, so back to Watery Defense, she has resistance to fire damage, and now when she's hit by an attack that causes her to take bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing damage, she can use her reaction to reduce that damage by an amount equal to her sorcerer level plus her charisma score. So she is a 6th level sorcerer, and notice how it doesn't say charisma modifier, it says charisma score. Well, her charisma score is 20. So she can use her reaction to reduce that bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing damage by 26. Then, the Titanic can move up to 30 feet without provoking opportunity attacks. Once she uses Watery Defense, she can't use it again until she finishes a short or long rest. But that is such a cool ability. She can just take 26 less damage and then move without taking an opportunity attack. Very cool. Very Titanic. 7th level in Sorcerer, 8th overall. She's going to gain access to 4th level Sorcerer spells. 8th level in Sorcerer, 9th overall. Another ability score improvement. And I think now we are going to pick a feat. A smart person would increase her constitution, but I'm not going to do that. I don't think the Titanic has too many hit points. I'm trying to see if there are any feats that specifically relate to, like, you know, the water or something like that. Like, kind of, not really. Well, it's fine. I'll just pick something. So, what do we think the Titanic will have? What are they good at? What is their special thing, you know? So, because I think we are going to have a bunch of feats, I think I'm going to start with the skilled feat. Very simple. She's just going to gain proficiency in any combination of 3 skills or tools of her choice. So I think we are going to go with performance, gain proficiency in that. Because as I said earlier, the Titanic, she's very performative. I know things like survival and perception would be helpful, but I'm not going to do that. So, performance, let's do Arcana, because that's always fun. And it is a magic ship, as we have proven. I mean, come on, 8th level sorcerer? The Titanic's got magic for days, okay? So, I am also going to give the Titanic proficiency in navigator's tools. Because they are a boat, so it's important that they know where they are going. And they did know where they were going when they struck the iceberg. That wasn't the issue. It was just that the warnings about the iceberg were ignored. Okay, beautiful. So from that feat, she gained proficiency in Arcana, Performance, and Navigator's Tools. So now for 10th level, let's go a 9th level sorcerer. It's going to gain access to 5th level sorcerer spells. 10th level sorcerer, 11th overall, another meta magic option. So we already have quickened spell and transmuted spell. So let's do seeking spell. That's a good one. So if the Titanic makes an attack roll for a spell and misses, she can spend 2 sorcery points to just re-roll the d20, and she has to use that new roll. What I like about this is that she can use Seeking Spell even if she's already used a different metamagic option during the casting of the spell. So say she hits someone with like a Ray of Frost cantrip and uses Curse of the Sea on them. And she uses Quickened Spell in order to cast, let's say, Chromatic Orb, but misses with it. She can just spend another 2 sorcery points to roll again and potentially turn that failed attack with Chromatic Orb into a success, and then use the Curse of the Sea's extra ability. That's fun. That's nice. I like that. Let's go 11th level in Sorcerer, 12th overall. That's going to be access to 6th level spells. 12th level sorcerer, 13th overall, another ability score improvement. You better bet your bottom dollar we are going to pick another feat. You know what feat I'm going to give her? I'm going to choose Inspiring Leader. So this is a great feat. The prerequisite is a charisma score of 13 or higher. Well, she's got a charisma score of 20, so check. Now, the Titanic can spend 10 minutes inspiring her companions. When she does so, she can choose up to 6 friendly creatures, which can include herself, within 30 feet of her, who can see or hear her, and who can understand her. Each creature that she chooses can gain temporary hit points equal to her level plus her charisma modifier. Well, she's level 13 and has a plus 5 to charisma, so that is going to be 18 temporary hit points. That's very good, and it's just going to keep going up every level. A creature can't gain temporary hit points from this feat again until it's finished a short or long rest. And that's awesome. It's short or long rest. The Titanic can use Inspiring Leader, take 10 minutes to just give this beautiful and eloquent speech in a brilliant Irish accent. And then after the fight, if those temporary hit points are all used up, they can just take a quick hour rest and then shore up her companion's resolve to fight once more. Classic Titanic. Oh, we are crushing it. So are you picturing a person or just the boat? Because I'm picturing the boat doing all of this. I'm picturing a boat, but they are talking, but they don't have a mouth because they're just a boat. Anyway, 13th level in Sorcerer, 14th overall, that's going to give the Titanic access to 7th level spells. Very nice. 14th level in Sorcerer, 15th overall, that is going to be another Sorceress origin feature from the Sea Sorcery subclass. And that is called Shifting Form. So when the Titanic moves on her turn, she takes only half damage from opportunity attacks, and she can even move through an enemy's space, but she can't willingly end her turn there. And I think it's really funny to imagine a massive boat fighting just some guy and being able to move through his space. Just have a full boat phase through some dude. On the Titanic's turn, she can move through any space that is at least 3 inches in diameter and do so without squeezing. I don't know how, but I love it. The Titanic just shrinks down to be 3 inches in diameter, moves through the space, and then explodes back to her original size. Oh, that's fun. When the Titanic stops moving, the regular squeezing rules apply if she's in a space one size smaller than her. She can't willingly stop in a space smaller than that, and if she's forced to do so, she immediately flows to the nearest space that can fit her back along the path of her movement. Man, that's funny. Oh, I love that. The Titanic can just phase through people and squeeze through cracks. Be careful, if you crack your window a bit, the Titanic might get in. Oh, that's fun. I'm really happy I'm not picturing the Titanic as a person, but rather just, you know, the boat. Okay, all right, let's go to frickin' 15th level in Sorcerer. Okay, 16th overall. 15th level Sorcerer is going to gain access to 8th level Sorcerer spells. So powerful. The penultimate spell level. The Titanic's just oozing with magic, and everyone knows it. They do. They simply do. We are going to go 16th level in Sorcerer, 17th overall. That is going to be another ability score improvement, and I think this might be the last one. So let's pick a very good feat for the Titanic to learn. I am really tempted to go with the Fae Touched feat so that the Titanic can learn Misty Step, because just having a big ship teleport 30 feet is... Yeah, that's really funny to me. Instead, I think I am going to go with Elemental Adept. So, Elemental Adept is a great feat if you deal a lot of the same type of elemental damage, like the Titanic does with cold and lightning. So we can pick one of those types. I think we are going to go with... I guess it doesn't actually matter. Because of Transmuted Spell, she can just turn all of her spells into this one type. Ooh, that's fun. Okay, so let's just go with Cold. So Cold spells that she cast are going to ignore resistance to cold damage. That means potentially all of her elemental spells can ignore that resistance because she can just change them to cold damage. In addition, when she rolls damage for a spell she casts that deals cold damage, she can treat any one on a damage die as a 2. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's every time. If she does a freaking cone of cold and rolls 2 ones, that's gonna be an extra 2 damage. Right there. You know, that adds up. I'm saying it like I'm joking, but it does add up. Every bit counts. So that's fun! Elemental Adept, that's fun. Okay, let's go 17th level in Sorcerer, 18th overall. That's going to be another meta magic option. She already knows Quicken Spell, Transmuted Spell, and Seeking Spell. Let's do Twinned Spell. Twinned Spell is also very good. So when she casts a spell that targets only one creature and doesn't have a range of self, she can spend a number of sorcery points equal to the spell's level to target a second creature in range with the same spell. To be eligible, a spell must be incapable of targeting more than one creature at the spell's current level. So, she couldn't use Twin Spell on Magic Missile, which can target multiple creatures, but she can use it on Ray of Frost, or Chromatic Orb, or Finger of Death. You know, spells like that. 19th level, 18th in Sorcerer. That is going to be her final Sorceress Origin feature from the C Sorcerer subclass. And that is called Water Soul. So now the Titanic no longer needs to eat, drink, or sleep. Which is very good, because imagining the Titanic eating is nightmare fuel, frankly. So that's fine and all, but a critical hit against the Titanic becomes a normal hit. That is so cool! That's so cool! No one can crit against the Titanic. They can't do it. That's awesome! That's really fun. Also, the Titanic is going to have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. The 3 most common types of damage in the game. Well, Chia Baby Titanic's got resistance to them. That's fun. And if someone does hit them with like a powerful bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing damage attack, she can use Watery Defense to reduce that damage by an amount equal to her sorcerer level plus her charisma score, which is now 38. So chances are they are not going to do 76 damage in one hit for bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing whomever the Titanic is fighting. So she can essentially use her reaction to nullify an instance of damage. Again, that might not sound like a lot, but this is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Let's see. I'm trying to think. If we go 19th level in Sorcerer, that's going to be another ability score improvement. If we go 2nd level in Fighter, that's only going to be Action Surge, which is a really cool ability, but I don't think it merits taking another level in. Yeah, I guess let's go for another feat. Why not? So 19th level in Sorcerer, 20th overall, a 4th feat. It's so many, and I couldn't be happier about it, honestly. I have looked through these feats so much, so I'm kind of unsure of what feat to do, because I have looked through all of them. I'm thinking maybe Warcaster, because they are a very powerful spellcaster, and Warcaster is just... every spellcaster should have it, really. It's just so good. But I don't know if Warcaster really sounds right for the Titanic. You know, the Titanic was not a vessel for war. They were a vessel for high-end opulence. I wish there was a feat called Rich Bitch, and the ability was, you have hella money. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist yet, and Wizards of the Coast keeps blocking my emails, but that's fine. Let's instead do... Ooh, you know what we're gonna do? We are going to go with Magic Initiate. So we can choose a class, Bard, Cleric, Druid, Sorcerer, Warlock, or Wizard, and learn 2 cantrips of our choice from that list. And I think we are going to go with Bard. The Titanic can learn 2 Bard cantrips. I mean, let's do Prestidigitation to create fun effects around the Titanic. Just... to add that old razzle-dazzle, and Vicious Mockery, because you know the Titanic has a biting wit. She was famous for it, really. And then she can also learn 1 first-level spell from the Bard spell list. And I think we are going to just choose, very simply, Cure Wounds. Because sorcerers don't have access to healing spells. Right now, the only healing that the Titanic could do was Second Wind she got from being a first level fighter to use a bonus action to regain 1d10 plus 1 hit points. That is nothing. And I know I said I don't want the Titanic to have many hit points, and I don't, and she doesn't. But I do think it would be very fun for this, like, you know, haunted rich ghost ship to be able to just repair its, you know, repair any damage to its hull, you know? Ooh, okay, no. Scrap that. You know what happened? So the Titanic has sunk. They are in 2 pieces in Titanic Canyon. I'm not making it up. That is what it is called. And the Titanic is still honing their magic. The deep water doesn't bother them because of the Triton race. They're just hanging out, chilling with fish, and they learn through whale songs this beautiful bardic magic that allows them to heal themselves. But they're like, you know what? I was up on the surface for so little time, and then those stupid humans sank me. Like, immediately sank me. So the Titanic is renewed, just living, honestly, living her best life in Titanic Canyon. Talking to swordfish. Yeah, you know, talking to swordfish and fighting crime. And honestly, I love that for her. So that's the Titanic. We did it. Look at that. Okay. Oh, it was fun. So the RMS Titanic, the Olympic class ocean liner, background Courtier, race Triton. She is a level 1 fighter and a level 19 sea sorcery sorcerer. Ending stats are 16 strength, 6 dexterity, 10 constitution, 14 intelligence, 9 wisdom, and 20 charisma. Now, with all of the ability score improvements that we got, I could have increased dexterity and constitution and wisdom or whatever, but I didn't want to, so I didn't. For skill proficiencies, she has a plus 8 to arcana, plus 9 to athletics, plus 8 to history, plus 5 to insight, plus 11 to performance, and plus 11 to persuasion, because of course she does. She's the Titanic. saving throws, plus 9 to strength and plus 6 to constitution, which I think makes a lot of sense because she's a big ol' boat. Languages, common, primordial, elvish, and dwarvish. Which, honestly, I think any four languages we could have picked, those are the most fitting, so we nailed it. Tool proficiencies, navigator's tools that she gained from one of her feats. And for feats, we have four feats. Get it? Four feats, F-O-R. We have four of them, like the number F-O-U-R. Skilled, which gave proficiency in performance, arcana, and navigator's tools. Inspiring leader, where she can now give 25 temporary hit points to herself and 5 others. Elemental adept, which increased the potency of her cold spells. And magic initiate, which gave her access to a couple of cantrips and the cure wounds spell. One of the reasons why I went with bard and not cleric, because if I had gone with cleric, I could have taken the guidance cantrip, which is my favorite. But with bard, that allowed us to keep charisma as our spellcasting modifier. If we went with cleric, we would have had to use wisdom, and she's got a -1 to that. I didn't want to play that game, okay? So my vision of the Titanic, she's in Titanic Canyon. All right, she's freshly remade and healed. And she receives word that that iceberg was no accident. Someone put it there. Someone put an entire massive iceberg in the path of Titanic. Someone wanted her to sink. But what river denizen would wish such a thing upon the beautiful and fanciful Titanic? So she begins her investigation, which she's not very good at because she only has a +2 to investigation, but she's able to communicate simple ideas to all of the fishies and they're able to help her. And she's also got exceptionally powerful magics at her disposal. So honestly, it's not that hard to track down who it was. And of course, all signs pointed to the obvious culprit. The Titanic wasn't just built to be this fancy ship. No, it was a passenger ship that replaced the RMS Majestic. And wouldn't you know it, after the Titanic's loss, the RMS Majestic was brought back into her old spot on White Star Line's New York service. Well, that was it. When the Titanic confronted the RMS Majestic, somehow, the RMS Majestic laughed without a face, which was horrifying to everyone at the shipyard where this took place. And the Titanic said in their perfect Irish accent, their note-perfect, word-perfect Irish accent, said, "You thought you'd get away with it? Well, not on my watch." And then the two of them started an epic battle. The RMS Majestic attempted to ram into the Titanic, but the Titanic just used her watery defense, taking no damage, and then it just proceeded to blast the RMS Majestic with all of these cold spells, slowly freezing the RMS Majestic in place. Majestic tries to fight back with fire magic, thinking that, oh, surely, if the Titanic is using all this cold magic, fire will affect them. No. Because of the Titanic's watery form from having been in the bottom of the ocean for so long, she has resistance to fire. And it's only a matter of time before she just starts breaking down the Majestic. Sure, the Titanic gets banged up every so often, but she has healing magic now and can just repair her wounds with exceptionally high-level spell slots. A 9th-level cure wounds? Yeah, why the hell not? Okay? Finally, the Majestic breaks and sinks, and the Titanic goes to join her fallen sister back into the depths. Just because. That's the Titanic! That's the Titanic, also known as the Titanic by nobody. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod and email in character suggestions to FantasizeMePod@gmail.com. The Titanic was a character suggestion emailed into me. So I think I proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't even have to be a character suggestion. It can be a thing like the Titanic, and I will still somehow find a way to turn it into an overpowered D&D character. So email in, that is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Send them in. I love it. Please do. Over on Ko-fi, ko-fi.com, I am still doing a fundraiser for Ukraine because the war is ongoing. So check out my commissions there. I can make you NPCs, I can make you PCs, monsters, beasts, BBEGs, whatever you want, I can make custom stat blocks for you. And then the lovely @DMSCreations on Twitter will create free art to go along with whatever I make you. All proceeds will go to the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund, so please check that out. Again, that is ko-fi.com/fantasizeme. Look at my commissions there. I am also in a TTRPG bundle, because I made a game called Kneel Before Me, and this is a TTRPG bundle for reproductive rights on Itch. It's all over the place. We've raised over $120,000 for reproductive rights. It's a very important cause, and you might think it doesn't affect you, but human rights are everyone's concern. I am also streaming on Twitch now, twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. I know I'm plugging a lot, but I'm doing a lot. I'm trying to, trying to keep busy, as it were. So twitch.tv/fantasizemepod, I am streaming a Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Nuzlocke, and my sister and I will occasionally stream The Sims there, where she's designing a house, and it's terrible and brilliant, and I love it, and we have a lot of fun there. So anyway, rate 5 stars, and follow, and download, and do all those things. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your friends' enemies, and we'll do this again next week. Bye!